It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got? All right, big story of the day. This broke yesterday after our show ended, and unfortunately, as most big Commanders news tends to do, Emmanuel Forbes is going to have surgery on his thumb. We knew it was giving him issues this week, but the surgery is going to put him on the shelf for anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks for the Commanders.
Yeah. You know, this is one of those things where I don't want to say that for them, this is, you know, gives them the opportunity to maybe do what they would have done on their own. Although I'd like to think, and Paulie sent me this DM the other day after the show, and I thought it was smart. He's like, this isn't the year to give up on a guy. You coach him. You coach him harder. You leave him out there. You challenge him more. This isn't the season to worry about every single week and whether or not it's going to ultimately impact your playoff experiences. If you think your playoff opportunities, if you really think he's got talent, coach him. Coach him harder. I agree with that. The issue is whether or not they think he is worth the time and the investment. You know, I had Logan on my podcast the other day. Logan said to me that one of the issues with the previous staff and Emmanuel Forbes was just kind of attention to detail. By the way, we heard Joe Witt Jr. talking about it yesterday. We heard Dan Quinn talking about it earlier in the week. They talked a lot about the defensive being technique, being leverage. You know, when you should have had outside leverage, you had inside leverage. And a lot of that may be directed towards, subtly, towards Emmanuel Forbes and kind of an attention to detail thing. I don't think there's any doubt that they believe Emmanuel Forbes has the physical abilities, that he's got talent, he's got ball hawking, you know, innate sort of sense talent. But you know, the way they coach it, they're going to want their corners to play it. And I don't think it was played consistently enough by him. I think we would all say that in week one. Whether or not they were about to bail on the number of snaps for him or limit his snaps in week two and have Noah Eye out there instead. They basically were at 55-44 Forbes to Noah Eye snap count last week. Were they going to flip that? What, were they going to give more snaps to the guy that was familiar with the system? I don't know. But now it doesn't matter, right, with the thumb. Now they can do, you know, what they want, and they don't have to they're coaching everybody. I'm not suggesting they're not coaching everybody right now. But I just wonder what that situation's been like with him. And I think the talent's there. I don't think they want to give up on the talent. But you get a few weeks to see what it looks like without him out there, minimum. What else? By the way, I would assume, I'll ask Ben this. I would assume that Igben Ogeni is the guy that's going to be out there number one. It could be Mike Davis, who didn't get one defensive snap last week, the free agent that they brought in from the Chargers. It may be both of them taking that spot. But last week, when Forbes came out, Noah Eye, Igben Ogeni came in. So I'm assuming that he's the guy that will get most of those snaps.
Yeah, he would make the most sense. I can't imagine they go from 1 week not having Michael Davis play a single defensive snap and be like, all right, kid, you're starting. Not kid, he's kind of old, but all right, guy, you're starting.
The thing is with Davis is he's not a kid, right? right. And they brought him in part because he was a veteran who's played for a while, and they felt like he'd fit their scheme. So the fact that he didn't play a snap in week one, what does that tell you? It tells you that he's not fitting the scheme yet. We'll see if he's on the field Sunday. What else?
All right, so the game of the week, as we know, is the Bengals and the Chiefs, and it seems like Jamar Chase has been reading my bet slip because he said that Cincinnati is the team to beat in the AFC, not Kansas City.
T. Did he really say that?
I don't know. Yeah, he did.
Why would you say that? Like, yeah, what, you know, Isaiah Likely said after Baltimore lost to Kansas City, like, you know, if that's all they got, you know, we're going to be okay or whatever it was. Why would you say after New England nearly shut you out before playing the Chiefs at Arrowhead that you're the team to beat? If I were Zach Taylor, I'd be like, are you kidding me? Why would he say that? You're not the team to beat. Kansas City's the team to beat. They've won 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years, including the last 2. Are you kidding me? They just beat Baltimore, and your sorry team lost to the Patriots in Week 1. You can think that. You can believe that in your locker room. To say it publicly is a limitation in intelligence. That's unbelievable. We're the team to beat in the AFC?
Not the first time he's done this, by the way. He's been a guy
I kind of like the Bengals. By the way, let me just tell you, I kind of like the Bengals Sunday.
What are they, 5.5?
I think they're the right side Sunday. I think they'll come out and play much better. You know, it's always recent impressions. Everybody thinks Cincinnati stinks. Kansas City's great. I wouldn't be surprised if Cincinnati plays really well at Arrowhead. It doesn't erase the fact that it's a stupid thing to say. What else?
No, he's been the guy that pokes the bear. Him and Travis Kelce have gone back and forth a couple of times.
God, you love the Bengals.
I do.
What is it about Cincinnati and you?
I've told you this every time you ask. I don't care about the team. I care about Joe Burrow.
I just love Joe Burrow.
I just love Joe Burrow. And I love Jamar Chase because they were on that team. That 2019.
You know everything about the team. Are you sitting there watching the Zach Taylor press conferences every week or the Joe Burrow press conferences every week? I've watched a bunch of Cousins press conferences over the years.
I watch half of them. Burrow's press conferences, though, he's similar to Jaden Daniels. He's not giving you much.
Yeah,
I don't
sometimes
care about Zach Taylor.
When you're talking about a player that has you interested in that team, the best stuff about that player comes from, if it's quarterback, the head coach and then the OC who talks on Thursdays. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, I couldn't name their OC. Nats fall to the Marlins. You know, we talked like 2 weeks ago about how the Nats are just crushing the Marlins. They've lost 2 out of the last 3 to them now. Yeah. They lost 6-3. Mitchell Parker, 6 1/3 innings, allowing 2 runs on 3 hits and 5 Ks. Another RBI, though, for Dylan Cruz. And he had a web gem of a defensive play as well. So he's playing really well in the bigs.
Yeah, playing exceptionally well. Last night, too, you had a Juan Soto walk-off single in the 10th to beat the Red Sox. Good God, is he having a year. And they're starting to put some distance, a little bit of distance, between them and the Orioles. They're 2 games up in the AL East. That's, you know, that race, the AL Central between Cleveland, Kansas City, Minnesota, and then the wild card race in particular between the Mets and the Braves. There's some exciting stuff happening, but the Orioles just, you know, I know we have a lot of people, because a lot of my friends are massive Orioles fans, and they'll admit it. They don't like to admit it, but they actually have more passion because they grew up with the Orioles. We didn't have baseball, but they want this more than even the Nats. And that series in New York, which comes up at the end of the month, they want that to mean something. And the Orioles have slipped 2 games behind the Yankees. They've lost 4 of their last 5.
Eesh.
So they got Detroit, I think, this weekend on the road.
Juan Soto's going to make so much money this offseason.
He's so good.
I'm still all right. Let me ask you.
He's going to be a big feature here coming up in October because every Yankee game will be primetime national TV. You won't have to find it on, you know, the MLB channel or TBS. It'll be right there, you know, front and center every single night. And Soto and Judge are just going to be a big part of the postseason.
They're going to be superstars. And the fact that because Judge is kind of down at the moment, you know, given his standards, so he's slumping a little bit. And they're still winning because of Juan Soto. Like, he's literally lifting the team. Their offense is essentially Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, multiple spaces, and then whoever you want to say is the third option.
Yeah.
It's not Giancarlo Stanton.
So right now, I think it's if the season ended today, I believe the Orioles would be in a best of 3 against Houston.
Oof.
To start off the postseason.
I can't think of a worse place to be.
No, that's not true. That's not true because they're currently the three seed. So they would be, they would face the, they're currently the four seed. So they would face the five, which would be Kansas City. And then whoever the six is, it might be Minnesota, would face Houston.
That's a much better spot to be. Actually, right now, six is Kansas City.
Six is Kansas City?
No. Sorry, I'm reading this wrong. No, you're right. It's Minnesota's six, Kansas City's five.
Yeah, because you got the three division winners, which are seeded 1, 2, 3 based on record. And I think Houston right now would be the third of the four. I think Cleveland's Correct. Got a better record. I was looking at this the other day. I think they've got a much better record.
Much better Houston. Record, yeah.
And so you would get four would be the first wild card team, and right now that's the Orioles, right? Easily, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And so they would play the next wild card team, the five seed. Is that Kansas City?
Yeah, that is Kansas City by a game and a half. Yeah, so you're
and
right.
And then the sixth seed is who right now in the American League? Red Sox?
That is Minnesota.
Minnesota.
They have that lead over
so
Detroit.
So they would play Houston.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The wild card race in the National League is, I mean, you got the Braves and the Mets battling for this last spot. I think the Arizona and the Padres are still, you know, within reach of those two teams. But, man, did the Mets, this was a team that early in the season was thought to be, you know, remember, early in the season, the way the Mets started off, it was like, the Nats probably will finish in front of the Mets in the division. You know, it's the because the Marlins had kind of a good year last year, surprise year last year, and the Mets have just been unbelievable. I know Lindor is not going to win the MVP, obviously, in the National League, but he's had a hell of a year.
Yeah, they got right against the Nats too. Remember, there was that, it was that early series where you're like, all right, well, maybe the Nats, if they, you know, beat the Mets, they'll like really put some space between them. The Mets are stinking right now, and then the Mets rattled off, I don't know if it was three or four games, but they beat them, they swept them. You're like,
I do
uh-oh.
Remember that. Yeah, they got right against the Nats, and since then they've been look, they could still miss the postseason. Let me see, do they play? I think they play the Braves coming up shortly. It'll be a rather big series. No, they don't play the Braves again. They do not play. Oh, yes, they do. My fault. They play the Braves the next to last series of the season in late September. They play the Braves in Atlanta. Three-game set. That'll be huge. Atlanta's got the Dodgers in town. Four games starting tonight through Monday, and that is big for both teams. Because, you know, the Dodgers still, you know, trying to ensure that they end up or have a chance to have the one seed, which would determine home field for maybe a Dodgers-Phillies NL, you know, championship series. I'm rooting for Bryce Harper in the postseason. I always do. I think he's so much fun to watch in the postseason. He's just so clutch. And that crowd is one of the best in sports when Philly gets behind one of their teams. It's fun to watch. All right. You don't have anything else, right?
Hey, we can skip the Deshaun Watson stuff. He's gross.
He's gross. Denton's got a college football preview. We'll talk some of the big games in college. We'll talk Maryland, Virginia as well. They play tomorrow night in Charlottesville. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app, and all of our coverage today on this Football Friday presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.